nor iron bars, a cage. Gazing at Aditi sitting up in the hotel room bed, Jordan echoed her words, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
"It's from your Bible," she said.
"Yes, I know, but I don't see how it applies to us." Still smiling at him, Aditi said,
"Halleck can't prevent you from broadcasting your message."
Realizing her meaning, Jordan said, "Ah, you mean you can use Audrey's help to get me on the air?"
"Yes. It doesn't matter where we are. I can contact Audrey and..."
He interrupted, "The last time we did that, it frightened Halleck so badly that she separated us and put us under protective custody.
She can't do that now, can she?"
"I wouldn't want to push her too hard. There's no telling what she can or can't do." Aditi's expression grew more serious.
"Then, what if, instead of taking over all the communication systems in the solar system, we simply contacted Mr. Otero, and you spoke over his network? That's what the two of you plan to do anyway, isn't it?"
Jordan broke into a grin.
"That's right.
I could broadcast from over here, over the Otero network."
"But we'd still have our honeymoon, wouldn't we?"
"We will indeed."
Nick Matrenko asked, "So what's going to happen to us?"
The court-appointed public defender looked as if he were handling soiled diapers. He was a youngish New Englander, spare and hollow-cheeked, with a Phi Beta Kappa key decorating the lapel of his dark gray suit. Nick was sitting across the table from him, in a bare little conference room in the Boston lockup, with Rachel and Dee Dee on either side of him. Rachel looked worried, Dee Dee sullen.
"The three of you spilled your guts under interrogation," the attorney said, almost accusingly.
"They put something in the water," Nick replied angrily. "Made us talk, like I was drugged."
"That's not legal, is it?" Dee Dee asked.
"They can't use anything you said in court, but the information is valuable in their investigation. Who's this man, Walt?"
Rachel said, "He's a guru, like a holy man."
With a gloomy shake of his head, the public defender said,
"Inciting you to attempt murder. Some holy man." Turning to Nick, he asked, "Where's he live? How can I get in contact with him?"
Nick stared blankly at the lawyer.
"I don't know. He doesn't have a real address."
"He's a wanderer," said Rachel.
The attorney gave her a disapproving frown.
"If you could help the police track him down, it'll go easier on you at your trial."
"Well, we can't," said Nick.
"I suppose if the police psychotechnicians couldn't get it out of you under interrogation, you really don't know how to find him."
"He contacted us," Rachel said.
The attorney shook his head again.
"So what happens now?" Nick asked.
"You'll go to trial, be found guilty of attempted murder, and be sent to the freezers."
"Freezers?" Rachel asked.
Looking annoyed at having to explain something so commonplace, the attorney said,
"The state's official policy is that a crime such as yours, attempted murder, is caused by a mental or emotional defect that science doesn't know how to cure. So they freeze your body until science eventually comes up with a cure. That way the state doesn't have to feed you or house you. For just a few cents worth of electricity per year, they can keep you frozen indefinitely."
"Indefinitely?" Rachel asked, her voice quavering.
"Like someone who has an incurable disease," the attorney said. "You stay frozen until they find a cure."
Dee Dee said in a disgusted tone. "And they haven't found a cure. Bodies have been in the freezers for a century. More."
"You mean we might never get out?" Nick asked.
"Nobody has," Dee Dee said.
"You've got to get us out of that," Rachel demanded, shuddering. "You can't let them freeze us."
The attorney folded his hands on the tabletop and gave her a hard look.
"Look," he said, "I'm a public defender. That means my job is first and foremost to defend the public against breaches of the law."
"But we're not criminals," Nick protested.
"You tried to kill a man, for Christ's sake, with millions of eyewitnesses watching. I'll try to get the best deal for you that I can, but you're going into the freezers, like it or not."
Rachel broke into sobs.
"Unless," said the attorney.
Nick grasped at the word.
"Unless?"
"Unless you cooperate with the authorities. Tell them where you got the gun, who helped you, that sort of thing."
With a glance at Dee Dee, Nick told the attorney,
"It was all my idea. I know this Starman is working for the aliens. They ought to give me a medal for trying to save the human race.
You're not going to get a medal, said the attorney. You're going to get a drawer and a freezer facility.
But what about the news media? I want to talk to them, tell them my story. We're going to be invaded by the aliens.
The public defender shook his head. No news coverage. That would just stir up other nitwits to try the same thing. We've got to protect the public.
So we get frozen, said Dee Dee.
Nick stared blankly at him, seemingly in shock.
No news coverage? He asked, his voice pleading. I don't get to tell my story.
You've had your 15 minutes of being famous, said the public defender. Your time's up.
Carlos Otero was having dinner alone in his home in Concord when the hologram viewer in his dining room lit up to show Jordan Kell. He was somewhat surprised, but once Kell explained that they could do more interviews despite the World Council's interdiction on broadcasts from Habitat Gandhi, he asked, "You can do this?"
"Yes, thanks to her,"
Jordan gestured to Aditi, sitting beside him. Otero broke into a wide, beaming smile.
"This is going to drive Halleck up the wall,"
Aditi asked.
"It won't get you in trouble, will it?"
With a shake of his head, Otero replied,
"It shouldn't. We're not breaking any laws, just evading the blackout she's clamped on the habitat."
He broke into hearty laughter.
"My God, you'll be able to campaign for election to the World Council from where you are. She'll go crazy."
Jordan forced a small return smile. He wondered what Halleck's reaction would be when he started making broadcasts. "She won't go crazy," he thought, "but she'll get very, very angry."